Today's reading is in John chapter 17, starting in verse 20. John 17, verse 20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me, and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is a continuation of the prayer that Jesus has been praying, and we read part of it yesterday in the earlier part of John chapter 17. And so in verse 20, he starts out saying that he also prays for those that would believe in him through the word of his disciples that were going to be sent out into the world in order to preach the good news of Jesus the Christ. There was much tribulation that believers in the first century were going to have to endure, not the least of which was the persecution that came from the Roman government at the very end of the first century. But sort of setting that aside, those that would believe in him through their word were people that we're going to have to endure some other difficulties and strife that would exist even in the churches, primarily because a lot of these were Gentiles that were coming in, and you had the Judaizing teachers that would try to bind on them things from the old law that didn't need to be bound. And so that caused some strife and difficulty, and so many of the epistles were written in order to fix some of that strife. Jesus is saying here, I pray that they all be united, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be in us. It was always the intention for those within the body of Christ to be united, to be one body. Not many bodies, but one body. So as you read these epistles, you find that strife between Jew and Gentile. You see strife and difficulty because of divisions among the churches, such as those in Corinth that began to factionalize. You had sexual immorality in the church that we see within Corinthians, as well as to the seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation. There's lots of different things that they had to deal with, but Jesus says they should be one. Understand that there is one word that is delivered, one word that is the standard by which we live and the church goes by, and so there should not be any division. Unfortunately, though, man doesn't act that out in the way that God intends. Man tends to have pride and ego and sometimes even some ulterior motives that are involved, and splits begin to happen. When if we just stayed with the authority of the scriptures, if we just stayed with what God has said, then we can be united. Yes, there are going to be some matters of opinion that don't affect our salvation, but we should be able to be respectful of that. And so the idea here that Jesus is presenting is unity. Many people are jaded against the gospel of Christ and jaded against the church because of all the many divisions that have happened over the years. There's thousands of denominations now that have split off from the true word and the Lord's church, so that people who look at that think, well, how can anybody know the truth if they can't even agree on it amongst themselves? So it does create a poor light and a jaded view of the gospel. The fact is, people are different, and people come from different backgrounds, and people have different personalities, and we have to be able to look beyond that. When we're talking about unity in the local church, unity of spirit, as Paul talks about in Ephesians 4, this is despite a lot of diverse backgrounds and opinions. And we need to realize that this new commandment is that we love one another, and that love is evident so people can see it and know that we are disciples of Christ. But we can't do that if we can't get along because of differing opinions and differing thoughts. We have to be able to set those things aside. And so verse 23, he says, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, completely one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. If the church can't be unified, then people can't know that we are the church. And so we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful that we don't allow opinion and ego and pride to get in the way. But he's already been encouraging them. You go back to John 13, 34 and 35. He's told them how they're supposed to love one another, and that would be a witness to the world. And he's already talked about that they need to be of singular purpose and not be separating from each other. They need to be part of this body working together, and there's no part of that body that's less important than another part of that body. You know, when we as the local church have one of our number that's missing, there's a piece of us missing. A piece of the body is gone. Imagine if you lost a piece of your body. Maybe you had some accident that happened. Something had to get removed. You're sort of going to notice that forever after that. You're going to notice it for the rest of your life. Now, our unity doesn't show people everything about Christ, but it opens a door. The love that we have for one another doesn't show everything about Christ, but it shows that we are true disciples, so that if someone is seeking, they can then ask about these things. They can talk to us. They know where to come. It's challenging. And what we're talking about here is challenging. It's challenging to pursue unity, singularity of purpose. But if we're all focused on Christ and we're all doing the will of God, then we become unified. It's when we drag everything else into it that it becomes a big mess of human problems. You know, we've got different opinions about politics, economics, hobbies, all sorts of different things that don't belong, as far as our unity is concerned, in the church. There's nothing wrong with having opinions, and there's nothing wrong with having hobbies. But the moment that my opinion or my hobby pushes a brother away or causes conflict, I need to be willing to set aside that, because I love my brother. I love them like I love myself. And if we do a whole lot more of that, then we wouldn't have any of these problems within the church. And I'm not speaking of anything particular that's going on in the Oaks West Church. I'm just talking in a very general sense. Friction does not have to happen. And when it does happen, those that are mature need to be willing to step in and say, this has no place dividing us. This has no place causing friction in the church. So we need to pursue unity. We need to pursue those things that make for edification. And when adversity comes and different things happen, then because we've already established that love for one another, we can take care of one another in the way that God prescribes. And so this is something we have to pursue and something we have to pray for, so that our testimony stands loud and true to the world that we are the Lord's church, the one true church, the pillar and buttress of the truth. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.